Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Cavs, of course, won last night in Game 2, are now up 2-0 on the Toronto Raptors. A 125-103 win for the Cavaliers. And guys, this was another pretty simple win for the Cavs. They win by 22. LeBron James has 39 points, goes to the line 21 times, takes 14 shots, just is uber efficient, just plays great, and there's functionally just no issue with how he played last night and really how the team played last night. Kyrie Irving overall kind of had some up and down moments. But he impacted the game in ways, again, that were without scoring. He did have a 15-point third quarter, mind you, but was only shot 6-19 from the field. Did go 3-6 from 3, made all 7 free throws, had 11 assists. The second game in a row, he has had a new playoff career high in assists. Had 10 in Game 1, that was a new high, and then 11 in Game 2 is then a new high. And he, for only the second time in his career, had a back-to-back double-assist game. He's done it once before, and he's just playing really, really well. The Cavs, as I wrote in my game story over Fear the Sword, they drubbed the Raptors. This feels very similar to what we saw last year. There are certain nuances of this matchup that I think are different, particularly looking how the Cavs are defending. Last year, if you go back and watch all the DeRozan and Kyle Lowry film, you're seeing the Cavs switching onto DeRozan. They are switching onto Lowry with Kevin Love, and they're comfortable doing that last year. The only time right now that you are seeing movement, that you are seeing cross-matching and just different guys in different places, it's because the Cavs are kind of adjusting on the fly. When they are structurally running their defense, they are still trapping. They are trapping DeRozan and asking him to get around those traps and to create. They're not quite as much trapping Lowry. I think if Lowry had a really big game, if he just had a game where he was in fuego in the first half and just hitting everything and Kyrie's just having a huge problem with him, I think they might go to trapping Lowry as well. But when they're trapping DeRozan, they're just saying, okay, DeRozan, you're either going to get around this and use a bunch of shot clock and attack us, and we're going to slow you down and slow your momentum as you go towards the rim, or you're going to pass and you're going to feed somebody else. Last night, DeRozan was just flat out sort of bad. 31 minutes for him, 2 of 11 from the field, only went to the line 3 times, made 1 of his 3 free throws, had 5 points, was a negative 21. There are other guys on the team that are worse plus minuses. Powell was minus 24, Lowry was a minus 22, but without DeRozan, you saw Toronto just sort of not be able to keep up with the Cavs, and they got good performances from certain guys. Ibaka had 16, although I thought he was a little bit more hesitant to shoot in this game. Patterson had the 1-3. I do think there's something to be said that they can get him open looks in the corner. The Cavs are going to leave him open. I think he might just need to force feed 2 Pats, and that's sort of a crazy thing to say because he's not the superstar or anything like that. And then you had Jonas Valanciunas had 23 off the bench, and Corey Joseph had 22 off the bench. The Valanciunas stuff, I know some people were frustrated by this, were kind of baffled by how well he was sort of playing. But let's think about it this way. He's the release valve on those Cavs traps. When he is getting those kind of clear rim runs and is just operating in the paint like he was last night, he's an effective player. He can score. That's what Valanciunas does. The Cavs are just going to let him do that. The Cavs are very cool with him and Serge Ibaka both taking more shots than Lowry and DeRozan. Yes, really. Ibaka, 14 shots last night. Valanciunas, 13. Lowry, although he had the ankle injury and had an ankle sprain and was a little banged up, 12 shots. DeRozan, 23. Corey Joseph also took more shots. He had 14, the same number as Ibaka. That's, again, more than Lowry and DeRozan. The Cavs are very comfortable with that. This is sort of what their strategy is right now. This is what they did against Paul George. This is a different version of it. I think Toronto, if they have everything sort of click, I think they can do a little bit more. But I think the Cavs really are going to just continue to force the ball to DeRozan's hands. Does that mean he's not going to have one of his 40-point high scoring, high whatever nights? It's probably going to happen. It might happen in game 3. It could happen in game 4. Certainly last year, Lowry and DeRozan were better once the series shifted back to Toronto. And, and as Matt Moore of CBS, will tweet all the time, role players will shoot better at home. That's just a fact. But the Cavs got a lot out of what they needed here. You had J.R. Smith only took 4 shots, but made his two of his 3 threes. Did a really nice job on DeRozan. Channing Frye torched Toronto late in the first, hit a 3 earlier in the second. 18 points for him, 5 of 7 from 3. Korver, even though he only got the 1-3, Toronto's face guarding him, just like Indiana did, and that causes problems for other teams. Amon Shumpert, a lot of his points and his activity came in garbage time, but another good defensive performance from him. Another strong night from him, and you have to like what you're seeing out of Shumpert. This is without RJ getting any time. RJ only played when the team wanted to rest LeBron late in that game. So worth noting that the Cavs are sort of doing this with kind of having altered their rotation, and that's something that's been true since the Indiana series. For me, there just isn't much negative to say about this game. There just isn't. This just feels very similar to what we saw last year. Last year, the Cavs in the first 2 games outscored the Raptors by a combined 50 points. This time around, you had the Cavs outscore the Raptors by 33 points over 2 games with the garbage time kind of eating into that. The Cavs, as we know, was up by as many as 30 in this game, and maybe above 30 if my notes are correct, and they end up, winning by 22. Like, the same thing kind of happened in game 1 to an extent. Although, this game felt a little bit less competitive. A little bit more problematic if you're the Raptors. But the Cavs did this. Kevin Love doesn't even play well. Really. If you're talking about someone who had a frustrating night for the Cavs, it was very much Kevin Love. 9 points for him. But it was a plus 10. The lowest of any starter by far in 21 minutes for him. 4-9 shooting, 1-4 from the field. Had a tech, just kind of a frustrating act for him, and I think maybe you'll see him bounce back a little bit, but the Cavs just dominated Toronto in this game. Toronto even had moments where they scored really well. 103 points is a respectable, number, right? Like, that's a fine offensive total, but the Cavs just rolled. The second quarter, LeBron James has a 15-point quarter in the second quarter to push the lead up to 14 at the half. Frye plays really well in that quarter. Third quarter comes. Kyrie hasn't even played well. He had a 7.2 of 11 first half performance. He drops 15 in that quarter. Frye puts the Cavs with 30 with 9:31 to go with a 3. LeBron checks out for 6:10. Kyrie and Love don't even play the fourth. LeBron in this game also passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for second all time in playoff scoring. And he did this all on 14 shots. He went to line 21 times. The Cavs just thrashed Toronto. I think right now, the way we're at, the way we've seen these 2 games played, and we know how it went last year when the series went to Toronto, when things shifted it's really only a question now of how long the series is going to go. Toronto, they're good. Like, I've always sort of liked, I like Lowry a lot. I think, up until this year, largely because of his injuries, I thought the last 2 years he's been the best point guard in the East. DeRozan, for his flaws and for not, being really built for this modern NBA, is really what makes Toronto work. Like, right, he's the engine. And as much as Valanciunas can have those games, and maybe he's earning a bigger role, or is showing flashes of being ready for a bigger role in their offense, then you need DeRozan to do that stuff. You need DeRozan to score. You need DeRozan to be the one sort of creating everything for others. And maybe he will, but this is very similar to where we were last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Cavs wrapped up the series last year in 6. And for me, the only question seems to be is, will the series last that long again? Kyrie Irving talked about post-game how it was the crowd and just their mood last year that kind of caught them, and they weren't worried. But, like, LeBron James, you can go back and look at his quotes from Game 4, and he's just kind of like, yeah, like, whatever. It wouldn't shock me if the Cavs sort of had those goofy performances again. That's just what they do. But the Cavs are just really, really clicky right now. LeBron's playing at an insanely high level. Minutes, it just seems like right now. And LeBron is too great for the series. The Raptors are doing everything they can. They're trying PJ Tucker. They're trying all these different things. They're trying DeRozan, Norman Powell. They're trying switching. Carroll's gotten some runs. He is too good. Like, friend of the pod, Sean Woodley, wrote about this. A Raptors HQ host of the Locked On Raptors podcast. He wrote about this, and, like, this is just a question Toronto can't answer. As we said, like, the only way Toronto wins games is if DeRozan has a big game, and I think Kyle Lowry just has to functionally outplay Kyrie Irving. Kyrie probably had a better game than Lowry last night. I mean, it's easy to say that because of Kyrie's third quarter, and, Lowry shot better, and he's hurt, and, like, you don't want to, like, really always judge a guy for playing after he rolls his ankle very early in the third, but Kyrie still had 11 assists last night. Kyrie had 22 points. He had the 15-point third quarter. Kyrie's really good. Like, he had an effective game, even if he didn't shoot that well and does what he normally do. Like, he certainly had some bad moments on defense, but that's just sort of a normal Kyrie Irving night. I think where we are in the series, Cavs are up 2-0, going back to Toronto. I don't know how much farther this really goes. I really, really don't. I think the Cavs are in a really good spot. I think they're sort of motivated to get that rest. And they just thrashed Toronto last night. Offensive rating of 125.5 in this game. Like, good God. Good God, Cavs. That's incredible. A couple little notes of this game. Again, LeBron passes Kareem. He's now second all time in playoff scoring. Again, Kyrie Irving, new career playoff high in three-pointers, or in assists, excuse me, with 11 assists. LeBron, by the way, now is 19-0 in playoff series, when leading 2-0, which is pretty incredible. And this just feels, just again, very, very similar to last year. This is just a really, really insane performance from the Cavs. They're clicking. The defense certainly still needs some work. I'm not going to dispute that. But just, LeBron was great. 125 points is also the most they've ever scored in franchise playoff history. Kyrie last night also, his 20-10 was the first time he's had those 20-10 marks back to back in his career. I'll write about that. I'll kind of talk about that evolution of Kyrie a little bit over at Fear This World. I'll write about that for you guys. But Cavs, checking every box right now. Defense still could use some work, but they're doing what they need to do. I do think the strategy is going to have to be altered if you're looking at the big picture. I think it can work against Boston. You're going to see them trap Isaiah. I mean, unless the Celtics can get shooting from bigs or shooting from a pick-and-roll partner that they're going to have with Isaiah, which... Is it Horford, I guess? Sure. they're not going to make the Cavs do the strategy. Like, they're just not going to make them alter that. Washington maybe can. I think, like, if you're, it's hard to trap Wall. He's just incredibly fast. But they're down 2-0 right now. And Beal, of course, is a very capable secondary ball handler for them. So you're going to see the strategy. I think it needs to be tweaked if you get to Golden State. Because who do you trap, right? Like, are you trapping Curry? They also don't really run the pick and roll in the way that other teams do. They're very much just a ball movement team. So the Cavs' defense is going to change if that happens. And we'll get there when we get there. But good win for the Cavs. Up 2-0. Head to Toronto. And not much else you can say. They dominated this game. Everything's sort of working for them right now. Undefeated in the playoffs. 6-0. LeBron's playing great. Looks great. Kyrie played great. Cavs are cruising, guys. They're up 2-0. On today's little interview blip, you are going to hear from Kyrie Irving. That's going to be your audio from this game. And we will be back again tomorrow. Have a little preview up for Game 3, which is in Toronto, 7 p.m. ESPN. And then Saturday, I will have a recap show. I'm not going to watch the game live Friday just because I have something I have to kind of going on. I can't really move it, and I'm going to watch the game first thing Saturday morning. So you'll still have a podcast pretty early on Saturday, so look out for that. And as always, drop mailbag questions. I'm still got that post up on the Cavs Reddit page, r/ClevelandCavs. You can drop them to lockedoncavs@gmail.com, and you can drop them on Twitter to lockedoncavs or to @CWMWrites. And look, if you have any podcast things you want discussed, I'm not going to do any big off-season stuff. I'm not going to do that yet because we have a month of playoffs before we can really, at least a month of playoffs before we can get there. But if you want something covered, if there's an aspect of the Cavs you want covered, if there's something about the defense, Kyrie, LeBron, whatever that you want to see covered in a podcast, if we get another break, drop me an email and I'll see what I can do. I think I got one thing that I'm really excited for next week that I hope you like. With a special guest, but it's going to be good, and we'll talk to you guys again soon. Listen to Kyrie Irving. Cavs again up 2-0 after a 125-103 win. Go check out all our coverage over at FearTheSword.com. We'll have a bunch over there, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Have a good Thursday.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Kyrie, PJ Ziegler, Fox 8. You know, I know you guys always say we'll take what the defense gives us. Based off of what happened in Game 1, are you surprised you guys had 18 three-pointers tonight, shot over 54%?
I think that we were just playing the game the right way, making the ball swing, and happened to find some great shooters on our team. Some of them were tough, but when we start off the game hitting from the three-point line, we feel pretty good. And when guys aren't hesitant about shooting the basketball, we're a good team as well. So it's not going to be like that every night, but when it is, it becomes one of those nights for us.
Harry, Kenny Rota, WHBC. Defensively, during the regular season, a lot of people wondering when is this team going to turn it up defensively. What have you guys been able to do in the playoffs so far where the defensive effort has been there on a night-in, night-out basis?
I mean, it's the playoffs. You know, as much as we don't want to make excuses for the regular season of us not being dialed in as best we can on the defensive end, I mean, when you get a chance to watch film on a team and focus on specific plays and be able to, you know, finally show your hand what you're going to do defensively and what you're going to limit them to on a game-to-game basis, we're a better team. And in the playoffs, we're showing that. We're executing on defensive end at a very high level. But it doesn't stop here. We just got to continue it and make sure we have that consistent effort going to Game 3.
And how do you take that defensive intensity on the road where last year you were in this situation and you got beat by 15 in Game 3 there, John?
Yeah, we understand it's going to be tough, but we all understand that we are a different team as well. Last year, I don't think we had the right mindset going into Toronto for Game 3 and 4. They really handed it to us, got the crowd involved, and which is really loud in there. And, you know, for us, we just got to maintain our focus, maintain our wits about us, and we'll be fine. But we understand it's not going to be easy. Those guys are going to be ready to play, especially on the home floor. As you can see throughout the playoffs, when the home team is at home, it becomes different. So the focus level's got to be even higher.
Dave, you've been on ESPN, but staying up defensively, how much credit does it, or should J.R. Smith get for the night that DeMar DeRozan had, and what's J.R. been doing in that role for you guys?
Just staying locked in, making sure that his defensive effort every time down is at a very high level. He doesn't necessarily get to shoot as much as I think he would like, but he's been very locked in from the day we started working on our schemes for the Raptors. He takes the challenge. He understands how great of a player DeMar is and how he can get it going. And and he understands that his backside help, as well as all of us being locked in, helping him out, is going to be there. So the trust factor is there, and Swiss can just do his job very well.
Kyrie, Rage asking from ESPN 990. Wondering about ball movements. It seems like everybody was making the extra pass tonight. You had 11 assists, second consecutive game, your highest playoff total ever. Was that something that was really communicated about and practiced over and over again last week? Or is it just a moment summoning that out of you guys, that you're just looking for the best play?
When we're playing at a high pace, a consistent pace throughout the quarter, but when we become stagnant, we're a different team, and we're playing at a high pace and high energy. Ball seems to hop and it finds the open shooter every single time. The selflessness just starts to go throughout the team, and we all start to feel really good. But when myself and Bron, when we're attacking consistently down every single time down, putting pressure on the defense, we're going to get our teammates open shots. And if the defense doesn't respect us collapsing them all in, then we're going to score. So we just play the game the right way. We try to do that on a consistent level.
All right, thanks,
Larry. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.